I remember when I was working as a pharmacy student in a community practice, and I came across a scenario that has always stuck with me since. Basically, it was a busy, busy night, and we were quite understaffed. And a patient had brought in an ointment to be filled. That ointment was not available. Unfortunately, it was backordered at that time. And what I thought, because what we had been taught in school, was that the pharmacist could switch that ointment to cream. And so I processed it and told the patient to wait 45 minutes, because that's how long the wait was at that time. However, the pharmacist said no. They wanted to fax the doctor before switching it from ointment to cream. And unfortunately, I was handed back the basket with the prescription and told to talk to the patient because it was my problem, not his. And yes, I realize that there is a therapeutic difference between cream and ointment-based products. However, in this case, the patient would have benefited from either. Now, you might think, well, you know what? They're completely within their right to say that. It's their license. They have the right to refuse to dispense and make judgment calls about what they feel is comfortable and what isn't. And I absolutely agree with that. However, our scope of practice also allows for certain conveniences to be added to patients' lives where they're able to get their medication on a timely manner without having to deal with this archaic version of communication called the fax machine. And I think that, you know what, if we need to shape up as a profession, we need to start taking more responsibility. And unfortunately, that's what I feel pharmacists like to really avoid, responsibility.
So welcome back to Off the Script, guys. From the intro, we're not just going to complain about our profession again, guys, don't worry. We're also going to talk about some positives, but first we're going to complain. So what is the problem that we're complaining about today? Like Faizan mentioned, pharmacists are inherently conflict avoiders. But the problem is, our profession, and especially if you work in community, puts us right in the middle of conflict all the time. And if we're always avoiding conflict and we're being too timid or avoiding decisions, then we're detrimenting both patient care and patient health.
So really quickly, guys, we're going to be touching over four main points. We're going to be talking about how we're exactly risk aversive, why we even have this in us. Is this something that's built into us right from the get-go? Is being risk aversive or avoiding conflict even a bad thing in our profession? And is there something we can do about it? Can we evolve ourselves as people or as a profession so that we take the reins of what's going on for patient care? Okay, Chris, really, really quickly, just so we can move past our first point, name one person that you would hold up to the standard of being the leader of pharmacy practice in all of Canada or in Ontario at least.
It's hard to pinpoint one person, and I think the reason is there's a lack of leadership in pharmacy as a whole.
Absolutely, and that basically boils down to why our profession doesn't really have a risk-taking role. We don't have anyone in the industry that stands out as a leader. We don't have any one person that we can look up to that really, I mean, leads us. And unfortunately, even in the media, there's no one spokesperson that speaks for all of pharmacy. I guess what that inherently shows is that when you're looking at even the slightest minute detail at the pharmacy level, where it comes to something like interacting with the patient because there's an issue, oftentimes you won't have the pharmacist stepping up to the plate to take responsibility of the pharmacy and defend the people that are working behind the counter. And I've seen that happen myself. I'm not just putting that out there and saying that this is something that happens and I've never been experienced on it. I've been on the receiving end of it many times.
And Faizan and I haven't really worked that much, and we really don't have as much experience in the field of pharmacy as, you know, someone who's worked 20, 30 years, but we can already see examples of passive pharmacists, and even our professors literally talk about it in class. We've been told that pharmacists and people that typically become pharmacists have characteristics that are inherently more passive or more conflict averse.
And I've seen examples of this that don't even have to do with patients. And I've talked about it before, where especially when I was a student, I would talk to the pharmacist because I wanted to get to know more about the profession, know what it's like being a pharmacist. And all they would do is complain. They would stand behind their counter and complain about the advocacy efforts. They would complain about the way pharmacy is, how pharmacists have to work, how they have so many things to do, but they don't get paid well. And then when I'd ask them, so if you're so upset, if you're so passionate about all the things going wrong in our profession, what are you doing about it? And the answer would just be a blank stare. Because inherently, we don't want to do anything about it. We'd just rather sit there, keep working at our job, and complain about it. But you don't see that from other professions. And when we compare ourselves to other healthcare professions, their advocacy efforts are so much more united and stronger. They have a stronger public voice because when they see an issue and they want to take the risk to put their names out there, they'll do it.
And this is reflected in our profession in terms of our scope of practice. Across Canada, there are so many different scopes of practice for pharmacists. And in Ontario, for example, we're one of the slowest provinces to get expanded scopes of practice, like prescribing rights.
But even past that, Chris gives that great example that we're the slowest, but you even look to provinces like Alberta and Saskatchewan, where pharmacists in some of these areas have advanced prescribing rights, which means they can literally prescribe any medication that is not narcotic or controlled. And the uptake of this happening with pharmacists is minimal. Like that process has been a much slower rollout, even though it's completely available for pharmacists to do. It's almost like we don't want to put our names on things.
And yes, there are outliers. So any pharmacists out there who are listening, who are practicing to their fullest scope and are really out there being patient advocates, kudos to you. Hats off to you. You guys are doing the best. You guys are the best of us. But our profession as a whole does have a problem.
It's that loud, silent majority.
So let's talk about why our profession is so complacent. I think it begins even in the application process to pharmacy school. A lot of pharmacists or pharmacists-to-be see pharmacy school as a second chance as being involved in healthcare. Oftentimes, that first choice is, of course, medical school. So from the get-go, a lot of pharmacists see themselves as inferior.
They want to be involved in healthcare, but they're still not happy because this isn't the position that they wanted. And it's almost, I want to say, they're reflected in the fact that they settled for pharmacy. That inherently shows this lack of pushing forward and this lack of taking risk. Because if they were true risk takers, they would put, I dare say, all their eggs in one basket and go for medical school and not settle for pharmacy. And again, I'm not saying this is the case for everyone. I know there are some people who had their hearts set on pharmacy. And again, that's perfectly fine. But this is from our own experiences, Chris and I, after talking to our fellow classmates as well. There's a lot of people who wanted medical school as their first choice, and this was not their first choice. And the reason we even bring up med school is because that's always something we keep comparing ourselves to. We keep comparing ourselves to physicians. And I also want to ask the question, why do we keep comparing ourselves with physicians? We're not doctors. We are pharmacists. We have our own identity. And it's that key word that I want you guys to hold on to till the next episode is our identity.
Even after we get into pharmacy school, during the actual schooling process, we're taught that we need every single ounce of information before we come to a conclusion or come to an answer. And we're conditioned to be afraid of failure. It conditions us to defer rather than actually make a decision. One example of this was in one of my classes last year, we were taught how to document for a hospital practice setting. And I remember doing the assignments and following the instructions and just thinking to myself the entire time, who has the time to read this 2-page note about this one lab test for one patient in the sea of hundreds of patients? This is so unrealistic. And once I got to real practice or got to shadow in real practice, I realized that my instinct was right. No one documents like that. Yes, it is important to document, but not to the degree that we were taught.
And again, that just instills the fact that we have to be right, 100% right, or else we're completely wrong. And again, this sort of inferiority that we were talking about earlier was also reflected in one of the labs that we had to do, one of the practice labs, where essentially we have to call a doctor and get a verbal prescription. However, I was told and we shouldn't ever call the doctor back and tell him to hold, because the doctor doesn't hold for you. You hold for the doctor. And that's just so wrong. That already puts, like, you're in school, you're learning from people who are practicing, and this was a practicing pharmacist telling you this. What happens when you go out and into real life and you start to practice? You're just going to think back to that scenario and say, well, I guess I just have to defer to the doctor. I can't make my own decisions. I don't have any say or weigh in the matter for any of my patients.
I partially agree with the idea that you shouldn't put the doctor on hold. But the reason you shouldn't put them on hold isn't because you shouldn't inconvenience them. It's that you should have known the answer in the first place. So don't tell them not to hold because you can't waste their time. Tell them you shouldn't hold because you should know better and know the answer.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is, yes, school is important, but some of those application pieces don't really translate well. And just like that story about what happened in the lab, once you're working as a pharmacist, you're out of school now, you're exposed to the real world, and now you have to start finding yourself in the middle of conflict, even though you're a conflict avoider. And sure, you've worked with other pharmacists, but many times the pharmacists that you're working with aren't necessarily the best role models, and it becomes a cyclical problem because you just learn to practice like they are. And once again, I will stress, this is not the case with every single pharmacist. I have had amazing rotations where I've learned such great things with pharmacists who are clear leaders in their field. But on the flip side, I've also had an equal number of negative experiences where I said to myself, that's not the pharmacist I want to end up being, just to make that straight. We need better teachers out there. That's a lot of the issues that are going on right now. Either you're in an academic setting or a hospital setting where you are bound to teach by your contract, or you're in the community practice where it's just something that you do on your spare time. We need people who are actually passionate about teaching, who are good pharmacists and are willing to teach future cohorts in order to improve the type of pharmacists that we see out there.
An aspect that's kind of out of our control while we're working as pharmacists is that I find that patients don't expect much out of the pharmacist apart from dispensing. And what I mean by that is that they think dispensing is as simple as putting pills from one bottle into pills from another bottle. And we know that there's a lot more that goes into dispensing than just that. I think part of why patients don't understand the whole process is that there's a lack of communication from the pharmacist side to the patient so that they understand what we're doing as well.
And in a lot of practice settings, our patients cease to be patients and become our customers when customer service experience matters more than the therapeutic value that we're bringing to the table. And because of that, we often begin to start bending the rules or bending to the will of our customer because that satisfaction score starts to mean more than what value you're bringing to them as their healthcare provider.
It's not a bad thing to work in the best interest of the patient, but we have to work in the interest of the patient's safety, not the patient's desires.
The main reason why we think that pharmacists are inherently risk aversive is because we are the last line of defense between the patient and their healthcare, which means we have to be perfect. If something slips by us, that's on us because that's our job. We are the medication experts and we are the caretakers of the patient's health when it comes to their medications. If things don't go by the book, I have done this. Other people have done this. We break down. But Chris, is that a bad thing?
This is where we turn the story completely around, 180, because being risk averse is not always a bad thing. Although pharmacists review all information before giving an answer and we're inherently averse to making a decision, it also means that we always, or we try to always, give correct information to the patient, and this probably also contributes to why patients find that pharmacists are very, very trustworthy.
We're people pleasers. And like I said, sure, that whole customer service thing happens, but patients like us. They trust us. We're the ones that they come to first when they have a question, which makes us really great teammates because not only do we satisfy our patients, we also help to make good teamwork happen in the setting of healthcare professionals all working together. And sure, we might not be leaders, but a good team player is always something that's well respected as well.
So I think Faizan and I can both agree that it's not a bad thing to be risk averse. It's just you have to make a balance. You can't be 100% risk averse all the time. And you can't also be 100% gung-ho and change every single prescription to be how you like it. Because you need to focus on the patient and make sure that the patient is both safe, but also you're not inconveniencing them by waiting a week before you get back from the prescriber to change an ointment to a cream.
Like I said, when I talked about the story in the beginning, yes, it was the pharmacist's right to say that they weren't comfortable with changing it. But at the same time, I would also argue, is it worth delaying therapy over? Because at the end of the day, you might be doing more harm to the patient.
All this talk about being risk averse or not being risk averse is nice and all, but how can we actually change our actions? How can we make it so that we're more confident in making clinical decisions?
Like Chris said, we're not going to start changing everyone's medication regime, but there are times, because of the nature of where we work, where conflict will arise and there needs to be a strong leader in that presence. And I think one of the best ways to do that is practice in those settings and try and hold the reins sometimes. You're responsible for everything that happens in the pharmacy. And simply by that fact, whatever you do or whatever you don't do is also going to come back at you. So there's no point in being passive. If anything, you should just be a little bit more assertive and make sure you document everything.
Documentation is key. I think another important thing is to have a good support system and a good group of pharmacy peers that you can double check with. So say you're about to make a clinical decision and you're not 100% sure, which I'm sure you won't be if it's your first time making a decision about a certain medication, you can always double check, one, your resources, and then two, your friends, to make sure that they would also make the same decision that you made.
Absolutely. It's almost like you're having academic detailing done for you because you're essentially asking your friends, hey, what would you do in this practice scenario? And it might help to change your practice because you might have that leader in part of your friend group. There are courses that you can take, you can do certifications, there's workshops that happen as well, and investment into your profession is worthwhile because like we said at the beginning of this season with the job market, if you're looking to advance your career, you need to make yourself stand out. And being passive is not a good way to stand out.
And I want to remind you why we're even talking about this. It's not to make changes just because we want to practice our full scope of practice. You want to make these changes for the patient. And again, pharmacy has always been a very, 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 very patient-focused profession. So think about the patient, think about what's best for them, and make those changes to make your patient's life better.
There's kind of this line that's always said where you can't ever assume what's going on and you have to be absolutely certain of what we're doing for the patient. However, you can't be 100% certain of anything, really. Nothing is absolute and everything is basically reasonably sure. A lot of the times you're working under a reasonable assumption for what the patient is providing you as information. Even when you're interviewing the patient about their condition, how do you know what they're telling is the truth? You can't be absolutely certain. You're just working with reasonable assumption. And some people might be thinking that, well, you know, you're talking a little bit extreme there. Why would a patient lie about their throat infection just to get amoxicillin? That's not the point. The point is, all the time, we're working under reasonable assumption and we're never 100% certain about any case. We go with what we have and we work with it. Don't be afraid to take responsibility and don't be afraid to make clinical decisions. So, we talked about a lot today. We kind of targeted some individuals in our profession and we admittedly were a little bit harsh, but I think it's something really to think about because our training and the environment that we learn in and that we practice in feeds into the sense of reluctance when it comes to action. And a product of that is the fact that we don't have any leaders. We don't have any strong leaders to look up to say, that's the type of pharmacist I want all pharmacists to be like. We're stuck almost in this perpetual cycle. And it's detrimental to our profession. We can't move forward because we have so many people dragging their feet behind. If we have so much to complain about, if we have so much to worry about, if we want to be paid more, if we want to do more, maybe we don't want to do more. We all need to start speaking up and taking action and taking a role in our patients' lives, in our pharmacies' lives, and beyond that when it comes to our profession. And before we end this episode, I know I'm all gung-ho about, you know, taking the reins and everything, but I want to leave you with that little devil's advocate piece that'll tie into our next episode, that maybe it's okay the way that we are. Maybe there's nothing to change because that's just what pharmacy needs. Think about it.
And with that note, thank you for listening today to another episode of Off the Script. We are nearing the end of our season, by the way. In a month's time, we're actually going to be finished entirely the second season of Off the Script. But if you have any last-minute questions, any burning desires, you know where to go. It's offthescriptshow.com.
If you agree with everything that we've said so far, feel free to leave a public comment on one of our posts saying that you do. If you disagree with us, then just as your nature would describe, send us a personal message anonymously to our inbox and tell us exactly what we've done wrong without any sort of constructive criticism, because that's what we're best at.
Offthescriptshow.com/contact. Don't forget it.
Thanks so much, guys, for listening, and we hope to see you on the next one. It's going to be a good one.
Off the Script is produced by Tom Fung, Faizan Baig, and Chris Tse. Quality control is done by Stephen Guan. Mixing and editing is done by Chris Tse. Off the Script is a podcast focused on education and entertainment. However, we are not a replacement for real medical advice. Please see your local healthcare professional if you have any questions about your own personal health. Thank you to Sean Singh for creating our introductory music, and thank you to Chill Hop Music for allowing us to use their music in our intermission and ending. You can find more great songs at chillhop.com/listen.